This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We are on till 6 o'clock this evening. Our next guest joining us, courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, will be following us at 6 o'clock. It's our own Cordell Woodland. And Cordell, thanks as always for joining us. So I'll ask the question that we've been kind of discussing today. If you're the Ravens and you watched last night's game, what did you learn about yourselves that you might need to improve upon going into next year?
That you need to be able, which isn't new, especially for this division, but you have to be able to win in the trenches, dominate in the trenches, actually. I mean, if you're talking about beating the types of quarterbacks that they're going to have to beat to get to the Super Bowl, let alone win the Super Bowl, they're going to have to find ways to make those quarterbacks less comfortable, force them into mistakes, force them to be something other than the player that they are on a daily basis. You just go through time, go through history, and you look at all these great quarterbacks that have lost in the postseason or have lost in a Super Bowl. It's one common denominator. They are all under a lot of pressure throughout that game, and a lot of times by just rushing four. You know, and the Ravens right now, the way that they're built, they don't have that ability to wreck a game on for four quarters with their front line. They just don't. They have talent there, but they don't have that type of game-wrecking ability. So if it's adding a Max Crosby or adding somebody that's elite on the edge, I'm all for that. But I think as a unit, they have to be dominant in January.
Cordell, looking at this from a Commanders fan perspective, with the Eagles, not a lot of free agents, and a lot of their core is under contract over the next couple of years. How do you view their window moving forward to get back to the Super Bowl?
I mean, it's hard not to look at it and say it's their time right now. I mean, like you said, they have arguably the best front office in football. I mean, let's just call it what it is. They aggressively go after talent every offseason. Just when you think that they've had enough, they go and get more. And they do a good job by being financially responsible. And like you said, they're young. So they're not going anywhere. I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. It sucks for me as a Commanders fan, knowing you got to see this team twice a year. So, you know, if I got to look at it optimistically, the good thing is that you build your team to beat your division anyway. So they should already have it in their minds that Philly is the team that they're going to have to go through each and every year. So, I mean, look, they got the big piece. They got the quarterback, and they have a lot of cap space right now. We'll see what they do with it. So far, so good with that front office. But, yeah, you look at Philly, it's hard not to think that they could go on the same type of run that the Chiefs have gone on with the defense that they have and all the weapons they have offensively.
Yeah, and like, I mean, they're going to lose Kellen Moore, but do we really think that's like, we think that's that big of a deal? Like, Sirianni's running offense before. Like, I think they know who they are, right? Hurts, when he's healthy, obviously wins a lot of football games. He provides that dual threat that makes any offensive coordinator look a little better. Like, I kind of think they're loaded for bear a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they check every box. They literally check every box. They have the talent. They have the supporting cast. They have the coaching staff. And like you said, losing Kellen Moore, like, I don't want to overlook it because, you know, when they lost was it Stefanski? I forget who it was that went to the Colts that was their offensive coordinator.
Oh, Frank Reich.
Frank Reich. And then he went to the quarterback's coach. It didn't look the same. So we'll see. Kellen Moore has had success as an offensive coordinator calling plays, but I'll give it to you. Like you said, Sirianni runs that offense, and now with Saquon there to go along with Jalen Hurts and what they already have, it's kind of tough to mess that up, especially with that offensive line, too. You can almost call plays with your eyes closed. So, yeah, I mean, they would have to lose a lot and then have a lot of injuries. And, look, I'm not going to give Philly the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the emotions because they are emotionally unstable. I stand by that. Mm-hmm. So who knows what could happen next year. We could get to week 7 and all of a sudden they hate each other again and they look like an unrecognizable team the way that they did a year ago. I'm not putting that past them.
Cordell, you were at M&T Bank Stadium yesterday. They had that Super Bowl party there. How was all that?
Yeah, that was cool. That was a cool event. It's always cool when it's free. So that helped. But got to chop it up with Jamal Lewis. That was really cool. And had a lot of fans. Obviously, a lot of Ravens fans were there yesterday. But it was fans from all over. You saw a bunch of different jerseys. And it was unique getting to see who is rooting for who. Because none of the people that were there necessarily had a dog in the fight. You did have some Eagles fans in there. I saw a couple of people wearing Chiefs gear. Not a lot. But for the most part, a lot of people were there to kind of just hate watch the Chiefs or hate watch the Eagles. So it was just cool to see a lot of people come together to mutually hate watching the game last night.
Cordell, let's go to the Terps, who nice bounce back win yesterday over Rutgers after that gut punch of a loss to Ohio State. Derek Queen was a stud yesterday. What did you think of the Terps win?
Oh, man, I thought that was the best game of Derrick Queen's young career to this point. You had all the NBA scouts in the buildings, you know, obviously a bunch of playing both teams. But Derrick Queen stole the show, and it was needed because Juju struggled with the fouls, and that hasn't really been a bugaboo for him this year, but it has plagued him throughout his career. And so that crept up on him yesterday, and all Queen did was go out there and grab every rebound that came off the backboard. He's still being a point forward. He's scoring more, was very efficient, was good at the free throw line. I mean, he really put them on his back yesterday to win that game. And Rutgers fought hard. You looked at the first half, and it felt like Maryland was going to have their way, but Rutgers came out in the second half and really gave them all that they could handle. So I thought it was a good maturing game for Queen individually, but I thought it was also good for them as a team to not have their strength kind of be available to them yesterday because Juju's been arguably their best player all year to this point. And for him to have probably his worst game and they still step up and win, I thought that was big time.
Cordell, the weather forecast is not great the next couple days. Then I think it's supposed to be in the 50s and on Thursday, and the guys will be working out in Sarasota, and soon enough we'll all be down at Pickles. With whatever we're going to call free pickles money now.
Yeah.
No longer CBs in our pocket.
Yeah.
Have you looked at like Pecota, Zips, any of these projections for the Orioles? Everybody's got them around 89 wins. Does that feel about right for you?
Yeah, I mean, I had Steve Molesky on my show the other day, and he had brought that up, kind of looking around at a bunch of the different outlets to see what their, I guess you could call it, preseason review, whatever you want to call it, of the team going into spring training. And, I feel like that's around where I'm looking at. And look, sure, it could get higher, and that's assuming that Adley is nowhere near the guy that we saw for the most part of the second half of the season last year. That's assuming Gunner's a MVP candidate all year. Westberg's healthy all year. And eventually the big fella you know, starts to look like the best closer, or at least close to the best closer in baseball the way he was 2 years ago. I think a lot has to happen, but I still think they're a good team. My issue with them is I just wonder how much room for error do they have right now with the roster that's constructed. Mm-hmm. I still think it's a good roster, but how much room do they have for injuries to happen? How much room do they have for guys not to achieve the marks that they expect them to achieve? How much room do they have for this rotation to kind of go through a couple of bad weeks and still be okay with the way that the division looks? The Yankees got better. And it feels like a lot of teams in the division at least did something in the departments where it felt like the Orioles were stagnant for the most part of the offseason. So I'm not going to act like you can win it all in the offseason. We've seen teams spend money and do nothing. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think with them running it back with almost the same, pretty much the same core for the most part, outside of the obvious two guys, I think 89 wins is around where I would put them at.
Cordell, what you got on the show tonight?
Yeah, we'll be obviously talking a lot about the Super Bowl yesterday. We'll play my interview with Jamal Lewis. I have my guy Carrington Harrison on who covers the Chiefs to kind of see what it's like out there right now because Ooh. This isn't something that they're used to filling these days. Talk to my guy Danny Black as well Ooh. About the Orioles. So a lot to get to.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Cordell. We'll see you in a few.
Appreciate it, guys.
Coming up next, Super Bowl 59 in the books. What did we learn? We'll tell you next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the fan.
You know what I tell our coaches before every offseason? You want to know what the secret to good coaching is? Yeah, come on in.
Get good players.
Okay.
Yeah. We got great freaking players, man. We got great players. You can't be great without the greatness of others. And this is the most ultimate team game there is. I've said that probably 50 times tonight. You can't be great without the greatness of others. And it takes everybody in this awesome game.
Nick Sirianni talking about the great players he has. I did see the Eagles after party. Nick Sirianni singing My Prerogative by Bobby Brown.
Well, he said, I guess that was sort of that, like, their little theme song, their rallying cry. Yeah. I heard him say that in one of the
You don't know that song, do you? You do not. Everybody's always talking that stuff about me.
It is a jam.
Yeah, why don't they just let me live? That's
I'm sure Beltway Ben will get us that before we're out of here.
My Prerogative was a jam back in the day. Alas, we watched the Eagles absolutely.
New Edition? Who Edition?
Yeah, he doesn't know who that is.
I'm Bobby
Brown.
I love
New Edition.
I love New Edition.
Yeah, I love New Edition, too. I like New Edition with Johnny Gill. I liked it when they all got
Ralph
back
Tresvant?
Together. Yeah, Ralph Tresvant. I was down with him. I was down with Bell Biv DeVoe. I love all those guys. Yeah, so anyhow, they dominated the Chiefs' offensive line, which was the story of this game. I know Jalen Hurts won the MVP, but it was 34-0 at one point, and that's because the Chiefs could not do a damn thing offensively.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we know the level that has been set for how you beat a Tom Brady on the rare occasions that you do with everything on the line, and it has shifted over to Patrick Mahomes, and it still applies, and they were able to get that offensive line to basically cry uncle in the first quarter. I mean, they had no answers. They had no confidence. They were a disjointed mess, and they got in Patrick Mahomes' head really early. I saw a video of the play. It was either the first or second drive where he rolled to his left and then had to do the pirouette and come all the way back around the right. And he threw to the sideline. He left his feet.
Threw
to the sideline. Should have been picked the other way.
Yeah.
I don't know if they showed it on TV, but from the back angle, he lands on his shoulder and his head hits the turf hard.
Oh, wow. I did not see that.
Bounces back off of it. I don't know.
Think he got concussed, maybe?
I don't know. But he was bad. And that's taking nothing away from what the Eagles did. But they had him rattled. They had him seeing ghosts. I thought if it got that way, that they'd switch Joe Tooney to back to guard and maybe rotate tackles and just go to a quick passing game and see if that could do anything or Mahomes' legs could do anything. Andy Reid had no answers. They were completely and thoroughly outclassed. And we go back to the last time we saw a quarterback of this magnitude get eviscerated in this way, and it was Mahomes, and it was Tampa, and they brought four, and they blitzed a little bit more under Bowles than Vic Fangio. He blitzed not at all.
Zero.
But the ability to wreak havoc up front is everything, and the Eagles' offensive line is one of the best in football, and their defensive line is one of the best in football, and that's how they won this game, even on a day when Saquon Barkley was basically there just to keep the clock moving.
You said this earlier, too, and I agree. This was way worse than that Tampa Super Bowl.
I thought it was way worse.
This was no contest at all.
It was 34-0.
23 yards at halftime, one first down.
Pass to open the game.
That was it. It was one.
Like a yard per play?
It was one-way traffic until 34-0, and they got some garbage time touchdowns. It was utter domination from the Eagles. And our friend Aaron Schatz with DVOA, through the first three quarters, it was the best. It tied the 2000 Ravens for the best defensive performance in the Super Bowl history.
Yeah. Now, did they need to be quite that good in the end to do it? No. I mean, they won this game going away. The score flatters the Chiefs. But, like, there is a template and there's a blueprint, and it's not that hard to discern, but it's very difficult to achieve. And it takes a certain level of stick-with-itness and dedication through the draft and, again, through spending real money to make that kind of thing happen, by and large. I mean, like, that Bryce Huff signing turned out to be a nothing burger, but they gave Bryce Huff $17 million this year because they thought he could rush the passer.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
They also gave Zach Bond $1 million, and he turned to a first-team All-Pro.
No, and that's a whole different thing, and the Ravens are good at that kind of part of it. But, like, Are you like with a bunch of $8 to $10 million pass rushers, the Oways and the Van Noys?
Yeah.
And I get it. Matabike's got to be better, and Matabike's got to be a $20 million guy next year, and we'll see about that. But I also think Matabike with a dude on the outside, you actually need to double, might help Matabike out.
Yep.
And that's kind of where how much was Matabike in particular missing having a Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, I think he was. I mean, I think he absolutely was.
I think everybody missed Clowney.
Sure.
Even though Van Noy's numbers went up, we talked a lot about how Clowney didn't rap and created sacks for other people.
Oh, my gosh. Again, how many more would he have had?
If you have to simulate pressures and get super cute and creative and all that, like, Mahomes isn't falling for the okey-doke. So at the end of the day, you heard Sirianni there. You got to have horses up front.
They did, as you said, Jason, they didn't blitz one time. They beat the stuffing out of the Chiefs' offensive line. Like, that's why, to me, Josh Sweat was the MVP of this game. Because not only he had 2.5 sacks, he had 2 tackles for loss, he had 3 quarterback hits, and he forced the second pick.
Yes.
He threw Tooney into Mahomes, which forced a bad pass inside their own 10-yard line. Like, that guy, when that was still a game, the defense was dominant, and he was the face of that.
Agree completely. I thought maybe that's the way that they would go. Now, look, Hurts played a masterful game as well.
He was very good.
He was great with his legs. He made big plays against, you know, he picked out A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith in single coverage and hit them in stride. And, like, he ran, like, what he did with his legs was excellent. I mean, he was better with his legs than Barkley.
Yeah.
So I don't begrudge it at all that he got it. And I think in part it's because he played so well in that last Super Bowl. He's probably the best player on the field, but didn't get it because they lost. Remember, these are humans who are doing this, and I think, as we saw with Lamar, they often factor in what they did the year before and the whole big picture rather than just being in the moment. But yeah, I think it could have been, maybe should have been Sweat. You have to turn Patrick Mahomes into a double agent. He's really not going to do it for you.
No.
The first half of this year, he did. He was leading the league in interceptions, I think, going into the Buffalo game. And then he did not turn the ball over again until yesterday. But let's also not be kidding ourselves here. That Chiefs offensive line will be markedly better next year.
I expect.
Guarantee you. They will put an immense effort into getting a new left tackle, maybe Ronnie Stanley, into getting Tooney extended and back inside. And I'm sure they'll continue to draft him. And they've also, look, the dirty little secret with them all year was the running game wasn't special. 2 years ago with Pacheco, when they came in here, that running game was pretty damn good.
He wasn't right this year.
He wasn't right. Hunt served a purpose, but they're going to have to figure that out. But Rice and Worthy are legit. Like, they're going to be just fine.
By the way, Mahomes in now 5 Super Bowls, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. It's and granted, he's got 3 wins. And
yeah.
But it is interesting. I saw the stat earlier. Brady has 21 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in 10 Super Bowls. So less interceptions and double the Super Bowls. And we expect Mahomes to go to more.
Oh, I don't think he's done that much.
I don't either. Hey, we'll come back. Terps, big win yesterday against Rutgers. They got Nebraska coming up Thursday. We'll recap next here on The Fan.
You know, I think he's been dynamic all year. You know, he went against someone his own age. You know, he's not going against, you know, Martinelli, Barnheisers, Crowls, you know, guys who are fifth-year seniors. He went against, you know, 3 freshmen, and it was like, you know, you could see in their faces, they look like him. They look like little puppies. You know, they're so talented, they're so good. But after we've gone through the gauntlet of who we've played, and you know, you talk about the bigs at Indiana, the bigs at Illinois. You know, now all of a sudden he gets to see that. You know, and again, I thought he was really patient. I thought he passed the ball. When he passes the basketball, yeah, I don't think there's anyone better. And I think sometimes he gets a little caught up in trying to go, but he played great.
Great point by Kevin Willard. It's a game where Derek Queen didn't have to face a fifth-year senior. He faces freshmen, and man, was he down. By the way, kudos, by the way, Ben, a little Bobby Brown there, my prerogative. Did you know the song, Bob?
Yeah, nice.
No, of course not. Bobby Brown was a massive thing in the late 80s. When he left New Edition, put out a solo album, he was monstrous, but of course, Bone don't know. Derek Queen, 29-15-5 yesterday afternoon, leading Maryland to a 90-81 win over Rutgers.
Watching the game and texting you guys, I was like, I don't know if he had a thing with this Somerville cat in the past, but clearly he was up for this one. And we do forget how young he is. And you think about, you know, the best under 20 basketball players, you know, in this country right now. And like what it would look like if he's competing for an under 20 or an under 21 national team against guys his own age. I think that's exactly what it would look like, whether you're playing that game, home, road, wherever. Now, obviously, as we heard the clip from Coach Willard, that's not the case. It's certainly not the case in the Big Ten. It's certainly not the case in the Big Ten when you still have the remnants of the COVID era and all this expanded eligibility. So it was a great reminder of what he looks like against the best kids on the planet his age and what he's capable of. Is it more of a struggle for him on the road? Sure. Juju being limited because of foul trouble early and it just kind of opening things up for him. Yeah, that played a role in it. But, I mean, his rebounding percentage was almost 25%. That's ridiculous. His BPM, sort of all-encompassing metric in this game was like over plus 23, more than twice as high as anybody on the team. The preternatural ability to wait and make that late pass under the basket to set somebody else up for a guaranteed 2 points. Not a lot of 19, 20-year-old kids do that. Not a lot of 23, 24-year-old kids necessarily even do that. And when they can run, like I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I stand by it watching this game. When they play up-tempo, he delivers. He's at a different, it just brings out the best in him. He gets to handle the ball a little bit more, bring it up occasionally. That running style plays to his strengths. Now, they can't always play it, and you can't always play it against a team that's younger and more naive than you in Rutgers that's not particularly good defensively. That's not the norm in the Big Ten, but that was the perfect storm between that opponent, maybe something between him and some of these guys from the AAU days, the crowd, being at home and being able to play that kind of tempo game where this thing is, you know, almost 180 points scored in this game.
A ton of tempo and 65 free throws in yesterday's game. 65.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if the game was going to end by the Super Bowl.
A lot of fouls.
But Maryland got off to that slow start where they were started the game 0 for 8, but Derek Queen ended up having a double-double with just under 5 minutes to go in the first half. In the first half, guys, and just how he can set up everyone else. And in a game where Julian Reese was, quite frankly, a non-factor, and Jacoby Gillespie still wasn't vintage Jacoby Gillespie, it was Queen pretty much throughout. Selden Miguel in the first half, where he hit four threes in the first half. And Rodney Rice did a lot of his damage after half. So they have other guys that can pick up the slack.
By the way, how good is Rodney Rice? Like, this guy, and the expectations were so, it was weird. And we talked about this in the 2 o'clock hour, but like, Ben is like all over college basketball, and you're like trying to figure out what Rodney Rice is going to give them coming in from Virginia Tech, where he didn't play a year ago. And Ben, you've got to be surprised that he's become this good this year.
Yeah, and just how comfortable he looks. And again, I said it earlier, I think playing close to home, being around here, of course, playing in the WCAC, he's played in that arena multiple times. A lot of family around, stuff like that. I think it's comforting for him. And I also think that might be big coming in the offseason when we already know teams are calling Jacoby Gillespie. Kansas is already, like, this is how things go. I think it will help keep Rodney Rice around next year because, as you said, as good as he's played, he could get paid very, very well anywhere.
It's just wild how things turn out because don't forget, when the season started, DHS was starting, and we didn't know what Rodney Rice was going to give them. And then the move to put Rice in the starting lineup, and now he seems so comfortable in this offense.
Yeah, and look, I think we go back to that first Nebraska game. They're going to have to hit their outside shots because that is a team that can play. We've heard them reference, you know, the way Nebraska doubles down low. It's weird. Nobody's prepared for it the first time they see it. It took Juju a while to adjust to it. So, like, Nebraska's won four straight. Nebraska's scoring at a much higher rate than they were when they came in and faced the Terps a couple weeks ago. But we saw them get a lot of looks against Nebraska. And I think, again, like home, road, whatever, this team's got to be prepared to be shooting 25 to 30 three-pointers.
Ben, you felt really good heading into the Wisconsin game. Not so good against Ohio State. You reserve the right to change because we're 3 days away from this game. But early feel for Nebraska.
It's an awful answer, but I would say the medium. Right? Like, I do think they win.
All right.
But Nebraska slows the game down. It's not a fun matchup. And, like, they have to win this game, right? You drop to 25 in the ranking. It's pretty frustrating, everything like that. This is another similar to Ohio State type of opportunity. Nebraska is starting to turn some heads around the country.
They're playing good ball.
They're playing very good basketball. Yeah. That's not an argument. They shut down Bruce Thornton in the second half yesterday, which the Terps couldn't do. So it's going to be a tough test. Although they were underdog, I said it earlier, I thought they might be. Looking at it now, looking at some metric stuff I use, they might be a favorite in this game. But whatever way it goes, I think it'll be 1.5 to 2.5 either way.
Terps take on that's Nebraska this Thursday. It's an 8:30 tip, which means pregame coverage starts at 7.
We're just a couple weeks away from going back to College Park.
Yeah,
I believe we're allowed to reveal that at this point now.
Absolutely. Yeah,
the big reveal.
Big matchup
for Sparty. I can look Izzo right in the eye, say, no calls for you tonight, Blue Blood. You're on our turf. I'm going to go down there during their shoot-around with a microphone.
Shoving in his face.
I guess maybe we should reach out to their SID, though.
Yeah.
See if we can get them before the game.
Yeah. By the way, still incredible to me. I watched them play Oregon this weekend. They were down 14 at the half. They won by 12. Like, and they had completely taken away the entire Oregon lead, like, by the first TV timeout. It was incredible.
Can you imagine that halftime speech for him? You know how pissed
he gets. Yeah. Yeah, no, he was intense. And he tied Bobby Knight. For most Big Ten wins ever.
He's definitely strangled way fewer kids than Bobby Knight. I don't think he'll ever catch Bobby Knight in the strangulation and throat chair throwing.
Yeah,
I think he's going to have the Big Ten title forevermore.
Yeah, Bobby Knight's got the
national title.
Yeah. Not only can you not scream at these kids like you used to, you can't choke them out like you used to either.
Yeah.
We'll frowned upon, Bo.
We'll come back.
Soft.
I didn't say that. Yeah. I think we're no longer Neanderthal.
Times have changed, Bo.
We're evolving.
Yeah.
I am joking.
Bone, listen to my prerogative. Hey, we'll come back at the
just
text
they
today.
Just smacked you around in Men in Motion doesn't mean it was right, Bone. That wasn't right.
We'll preview tomorrow's show, and we'll get you ready for Cordell Woodland shaking up sports at 6 here on The Fan. Final segment, and then Cordell Woodland takes over. Hey, Jason, real quick, because I just looked up, and I was thinking about it earlier. The Jets are going to look mighty different next year. No Aaron Rodgers, no Devontae Adams. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is playing football next year?
I'm not sure he is. I don't know that the price point's going to be worth it for him. I mean, maybe the Raiders, like maybe, but I have a hard time seeing a lot of obvious fits for him. So how cheaply is he willing to play? I don't know.
That's what I was who's going to dish out the price that he's going to ask for?
Pittsburgh Steelers?
I don't know.
He's not going to Steelers.
No, I
that'd be fun if he
don't
went to
know.
Steelers.
I mean, again,
I would
like,
enjoy that.
You know, Brady is a smart football person, but, I mean, he's still kind of a novice. Pete Carroll just wants to win right now, and there's not much on the quarterback
generation
market.
Higher.
Like, could they be? They should be smarter than that, but I told you guys, there's no way he was going back to New York. That ship had sailed.
Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1, 2, check. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day.
Okay.
Text of the day is sponsored by Orsman Automotives, driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. Text of the day comes from Zach in Falston, who says, Eagles put on a clinic on how to stop this Chiefs team. They did the same thing against the Ravens during the regular season. Starts with building the roster with a strong offensive line, defensive line. We need to take those steps next season.
Agreed.
Hey, give Howie Roseman all his flowers. Like, between the draft and the trades, they even, and not everything hit. Bryce Huff didn't hit. Johan Dotson didn't hit.
Yep.
And still, that team is just littered with dudes.
Well, we'll take a look tomorrow we talked a little bit on the surface today about lessons the Ravens can learn, and obviously pass rush.
Yeah.
But I think if you drill down on how and where they're willing to spend, there's some, could be some clues for Silent Steve to to follow if he's willing to take some of the yacht fund and put a little more into the team.
By the way, there's some cool yachts down in New Orleans, allegedly. Like Shad Khan's giant yacht was there, and there are a lot of boats.
The Ravens have zigged where others zag, though. They haven't paid pass rushers, but they will pay you if you play in the secondary.
Oh, I see them. I foresee a big safety contract.
Oh, Hamilton's getting his.
Well, I mean outside.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, with somebody that we need the trilogy. We had Earl and then Marcus, and now who's behind door number three?
Hopefully someone better than Earl and Marcus.
Yes. Good call, Bum.
Yeah.
Bum, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have Rita Hubbard. We have Aditi Kinkabwala on.
Controversial.
Yes, controversy.
She voted Lamar first team All-Pro quarterback.
Yes.
But then voted Josh Allen MVP. Yes. So we'll get to the bottom of that with Aditi. And Matt Weirich covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, will be joining us.
Late edition.
Yes.
Yeah. So that'd be good. Talk some Orioles as they pitchers and catchers reporting.
Everybody's heading to Sarasota.
Thursday.
We can ask him about their right-handed pitcher lineup. Tyler O'Neill be in it? Because we don't see it.
I mean, he'll be in some of them because they're going to face a lot of right-handed.
Assuming as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah.
As long as he stays healthy. By the way, whiteboard behind the bone now. That's new.
What was that?
Whiteboard bone. Where did that come from?
Yeah. Big whiteboard.
A new toy to play with. There's no pen that goes with it.
No, it's just there for show.
That's
for That is it for us. Cordell Woodland's Chicken of Sports.
Great for the stream.
Yes.
When the stream's up.
That's coming. I prefer Ben Hall streams. But anyway, Cordell Woodland's Shaking Up Sports next here on The Fan.